He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM. When the mountains
look so big. We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. You know, you had the opportunity to worship the Lord yesterday. You'll have the opportunity to worship the Lord tomorrow. And you have the opportunity to worship the Lord today. Don't miss those opportunities. You might get another opportunity, but it will not be the same opportunity as this one is today. And so we want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program, investing in your spiritual journey. Right now, we are going through the Sermon on the Mount. We are trying to rid lawlessness from our lives and show a stark contrast between what a law-abiding lifestyle, a law-loving lifestyle, as far as the law of God goes, contrasts with a society that would rather operate from a spirit of lawlessness than from compliance with what God has said in His Word. So that is what we are talking about. We are in Hebrews chapter 1. And we started in verse number 5 yesterday. We got down to verse number 8 where the Father is talking to the Son, and He says, but to the Son He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? And so that's where the end of chapter 1 comes. So let's go back to verse number 8, where yesterday we were talking about, but your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And then it goes on and it says, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Historians are generally the ones who look back at a government, whether it be a presidency or in some other places, a king or a dictatorship, and they will begin to look at and analyze the type of effect that that government had. Unfortunately, we live in a time where history tends to be rewritten instead of an accurate assessment free from bias that you could look at and say, okay, this is phenomenal, and this was not so good. So there are some presidents who have been deemed very successful, but if you go back, you will look and find that much of what they did was deemed unconstitutional, and things that they thought had to be done, they ended up being reversed because what they did was not in compliance with the law of God. So when I was teaching history in the School of Ministry and history, when I was teaching out at Teen Missions quite some time ago, I would tell people that there are two different philosophies of constitutional relationships. One says that unless the Constitution forbids me from doing something, then I am empowered to be able to do it. The other says unless the Constitution empowers me to do something, then it's not within the scope of my capabilities and I'm not able to exercise anything in that jurisdiction. And if you begin to look at the way that decisions are made, you will be able to identify which one of those philosophies a particular government operates in. Well, the Bible says that God has exalted his word and his name above all things. So the heart of God, the will of God, the word of God, all of those things are told by God and says, these are the parameters with which I operate. And these are the parameters with which you are supposed to conduct your lives in. People who live within these commandments, within these boundaries, they will live in right standing before me. They will live in righteousness. He says, but I'm not just asking for people to live in righteousness. I want you to know that on my throne, I am righteousness. I rule. I have a scepter, a rod, or a staff is another way that those words are translated. I govern from a position of right standing, that I will not violate my word. Okay? So one of the greatest pastimes in Washington, D.C. is the flip-flop. It is, okay, this is my position when I am not in power, and this is my position when I am in power, and those two positions are directly contradictory. So people don't have any problem flip-flopping, even though it is an evidence of great intellectual inconsistency. It's a demonstration of hypocrisy. But people said, no, when I'm not in power, this is my philosophy. When I am in power, I don't want anything preventing me from doing what I need to be done. And so there's that situation. It's not right standing. It's not even right standing between their own mental positions through the years. They just say, whatever I need to do to get my policies passed, that's what I'm going to do. That's not the way that the church operates. The church is supposed to be a body of believers that realizes that right standing before God is of utmost importance. And whether we are going through good times or difficult times, whether we are a person under authority or we're a person of authority, we're not going to do anything that compromises the right standing of God. So in the Old Testament, there were kings, and they started off well, but they didn't finish well. Some of them didn't start well, but they finished well. And there's this realization from the Word of God that righteousness is not only the beginning of our life with God, it is also supposed to be the rule by which we conduct our life all the way to the end. So verse number 8 says that Jesus has a scepter of righteousness as the scepter of his kingdom. That's a tremendously empowering passage of Scripture. Verse number 9, it goes on, and it's, again, a declaration to Jesus, and it says, you have loved righteousness. You have loved righteousness. That word there is the word agape. It is a definition of biblical love, of unconditional love. It is a deep level of affection and intimacy. It's a person that says, I cherish right standing before God. So this is one of the defining characteristics of the life of Jesus and should be one of the defining characteristics that we have in our life, that we are committed unconditionally with a deep passion to righteousness. We love having right standing with God. There are a lot of things that I say no to in life because I realize that if I said yes to some of those things that are pretty common throughout an ungodly society, that the price tag of that would be my right standing with God. It would create a need for repentance. You know, Paul would say, all things are permissive, but not all things are beneficial. The price tag is often much too severe for me to want to say yes to that. For instance, there are way too many ministries that the minister has risen to a level of celebrity status, but they did so, their giftings took them to a place that their character could not sustain them, and there was a great demise. And I've made this statement publicly before thousands of people, and I was like, one of my great goals in life is to avoid being in any disciplinary hearings where I would be called into question for my behavior. That price tag is too high. There are some things that are pretty common in society, but I never wanted to damage my relationship with my kids. So I chose to say no to temptation because I wanted my kids to see a consistent representation of a father who valued right standing with God. There are many things that I have said no to intentionally because I value being in right standing with my wife. There are things that I say no to because I want right standing physically. I want right standing emotionally and mentally. I believe that righteousness should have a permeation that it just touches every aspect of our existence. It impacts us in our body, our soul, our finances, our mind, our will, our emotions, our relationships. Love righteousness. Somebody has said that being in the ministry is like herding cats. You know, I'm a dog person. I'm not a cat person. It's not that I have anything against cats. I just want to make room for people who really love cats to have a greater access to the things that they're passionate about, and so they can have my portion of catdom. I'm a dog guy, but I've got to the place where if my wife and I want to go someplace, I don't want to have the responsibility of having to try and find somebody to feed and water the dog and make sure that they are able to get outside and go to the restroom and all that sort of stuff. So it's not that I have anything against them. It's just that I don't want that type of restriction in my life. So you and I, we would make our lives so much easier if instead of battling against the will of God and the word of God, if we adopted this mindset of, God, I love righteousness. I love being able to come to you on a daily basis with a forgiven spirit, having open lines of communication, nothing held back from you, nothing that I would feel ashamed of or I would try and conceal from you. God, I just love being able to come into your presence with the right standing, the righteousness that Jesus has made possible in my life. You want to see your best year ever? Then adopt the same mindset towards right standing with God that Jesus had and say, God, I love righteousness. So during times of great intensity in his life, he would pray, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He saw the difficulties, the challenges, the pain of the cross, and he said, there's joy with the Father and joy with the forgiven, joy with the redeemed on the other side of that. So I can go through the difficult season because I realize that there's going to be right standing with the Father and right standing with the redeemed on the other side of that. I love righteousness. Several years ago, we did a project at the church, and I can tell you that it was before a certain year because we were still living at the church at the time. And after the project was done, everybody went their separate ways. They went to their homes. They went to rest up because church was the next day. This was on a Saturday. And I stood out there, and I just looked at the finished product. It looked so good. It had started off at the beginning of the day looking very difficult. It was ugly, and at the end of the day, it looked very, very nice. And I just stood out there, and I took a moment to soak it in because I said, you know, this is something that I don't get to experience very often because I deal with the hidden parts of man. I very rarely get to see a radical transformation in a 24-hour period of time. A person that is changed over seasons. And on this particular day, I got to see what satisfaction looked like to everybody else and, you know, that dealt with broken cars or broken buildings or things like that. And I was like, wow, that looks really, really good. And I can tell you this, that when we love righteousness, there's going to be a satisfaction. There's going to be a fruitfulness that exists as a result of that where you don't have to be ashamed. And you can go into your prayer closet and you can hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I don't believe he just saves that for our final reward. I believe that he commends us. And we could turn right around and lay that crown at his feet and said, God, it was all because of the people you surrounded me with. It's all because of the resources that you have provided. It's because you had a mentor that showed us how to accomplish this. And God, we just want to say to you be the glory, the honor, the power, and the praise. Love righteousness. I pray that we as a church, that we would no longer embrace the minimal standards of what God is looking for, but we would have a passion to experience the fullness of righteousness in our life. Jesus loves righteousness, and it's something that he is very much desirous of. Righteousness is the quality of being in accordance with God's law. And the only way that that can take place is through the works of Jesus Christ. So the next phrase that is mentioned here is, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Jesus hated lawlessness. So I was, what was I doing? I think I was sitting at home one night after church, and basically I was just scrolling through Facebook, I came across a post from the community page, and a person mentioned that they were looking for a church. And those posts always get my attention. Because I would like for people to consider Merit Assembly of God. I believe that we're one of the best kept secrets in Brevard County. And it doesn't matter, you know, what people put up there as what they are looking for in a church. There are going to be some of the larger churches in the area, and people are going to mention them. This particular post was a little bit different, even though those same very large churches ended up coming up. But according to what the person posted, I don't think that those churches were going to provide. And I knew this. I knew Merit Assembly of God was not going to be the church that they were looking for. Because at Merit Assembly of God, we're going to preach the Word of God. We're not going to be preaching the latest idea of confusion to come out of Hollywood or academia or government. We're not looking for that. We're looking for the Word of God. And so I tell people that I am very open-minded, but I'm not open-minded in the way that the world views or defines open-mindedness. And what they view is, okay, you open up your mind and we're going to pour in this stuff here because we think it's really cool and you're supposed to embrace it. That's not the responsibility that I have been given. The Bible tells us that we are supposed to guard our hearts and guard our minds. We're not supposed to think the way that the world thinks. We are supposed to renew our minds so that our minds begin to think in the same manner in which Jesus thought. And so my open-mindedness is when I look into the Word of God, I am open to correction. I am open to embracing what God has to say in His Word, period. So I am open to my perspective being challenged according to the Word of God. And so I have people in my life that whenever I have something that comes into my mind, that I will check that with, does this line up with the Word of God? Am I making things more than what are the Word of God has? Because I want to be in line with the Word of God. So there are people who are looking for churches that are willing to sacrifice the Word of God for a new agenda that may be coming out of Hollywood or academia or government. And I'm looking to the Word of God and saying, God, you are the one. Your words are truth forever. Your words are established forever. They're not ever going to fail. They're not ever going to go away. And so as I go through my devotions, and I say, okay, God, I want you to show me the ancient truths of your word, but God, I also want you to show me things that I've never seen before. And I can tell you that in the month of January, that there were many times when I was reading through the Word of God, and I saw things in there that I had never seen before, or if I had seen them, I'd never paid attention. I just kind of glossed right over them. Let me ask you this. You know, what's your attitude towards righteousness? And what's your attitude towards lawlessness? Because whatever your response is, if it's different, if your inclinations are different than what Jesus's inclinations are to those two things, you won't get the same results, the same reward, the same benefit that Jesus received for those things. Righteousness is not on the buffet bar. Righteousness is absolutely essential. I got a friend, and he wrote a book, and I believe the name of the book was Righteousness is Not for Babies. You and I, we shouldn't be trying to redefine what is socially acceptable in the kingdom of God. We shouldn't be trying to redefine that. We should be saying, God, you're smarter than I am. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you really want to dive in and have a full understanding of righteousness and what you're supposed to love, you need to get into the Word of God and say, God, would you help me? I not only want to do what is right, I want to love doing what is right. Have you ever seen somebody that had just a joy and an enthusiasm for what their job was, and they just took it to a level that nobody else had ever taken it, because they didn't just want to do the job, they wanted to do the job better than anybody had ever done it before. I saw a video of a guy, and they called him the Popcorn King or something like that, because he worked at a movie theater, and he had developed a process to make sure that when you ordered buttered popcorn, that you didn't just get buttered popcorn on the top. You got buttered popcorn all throughout the process. And he had developed his own technique, and people were like, wow, he has a passion for doing his job that has given a new level of awe to the people who were benefited by what he was doing. What would it look like if the church stopped fighting against the will of God, and we said, God, we are here, we delight and we desire and we love doing the right thing in your eyes. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.